We're looking at something that is very important for today, and that's Father's Day. This is an awesome time for us to spend together just honoring fathers and our appreciation for all of you. Happy Father's Day to all of you. God bless you. We're very proud of you and very excited about you. We want to talk about the man who shaped my life, and that's each person here today. They all have a father, and that father has shaped our lives, and we got a picture of Jesus here on this to represent the fact that the reason why special fathers are able to shape the lives of their children in a special way is because of the influence of Christ. And there are people who have committed their lives to Christ, and because of that decision, they have made an impact on their family. What we're looking at today is a father's commitment. I want you to just see this dad here. He's got a couple boys and a wife, and he is making decisions that are going to affect them all during their life. And those decisions that this man is making has a tremendous impact on how their lives are going to go. And we got a scripture down below that says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Now look at the face of that man and see him as being a man who's making that commitment and saying, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." You can look at this family and you now know that there's going to be 1,000 different elements of God that is going to change their lives because of that one commitment. Amen? This is a commitment that changes the lives of that family. And this is being stated by Joshua, who is saying in Joshua 24:15, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." What he's saying is, no matter what everybody else does, no matter what their decision is, as for me and my household, we're going to serve God. We're not going to allow the social pressure. We're not going to allow the influences of the world. We're not going to allow Satan to steal that commitment out of our lives. And because of that commitment that Joshua made, because of that commitment that you have made, your family, as a family led by a father who has committed his life to Christ, your family is being blessed in an abundant way. Your life is influencing their life in an effective way, a powerful way. It's going to affect the family because of that commitment to a place to where that the power of Jesus Christ starts to flow through that family and starts to help them to become the people they need to be. And the fact that you're sitting here today makes you one of those special dads. And what very often happens, and I've seen this happen over and over again, I've seen fathers come to church on Father's Day, and instead of being honored, they are almost persecuted for the things that the world is doing and the inequities of what's going on in our society today. And a lot of things are preached against. But the fact is you're here today. And the fact that you're here today makes you a special person who's made that commitment. As for me and my household, we're going to serve God. And that's why we're here today. That's why my family is here. And the basic element is to understand that you are one of the most valuable parts of the commitment of your children that can exist. That the fact that you are making that commitment sets their life on a course that makes such a dramatic difference to them. And very often you don't experience, you don't hear, you don't get an opportunity to know how important that is and how valuable you are. In Acts chapter 16, verses 30 to 32, we're seeing a man who is responsible for guarding a particular jail. And Paul and Silas were out ministering for the cause of Christ, and while they were out there ministering, there was a woman following behind them saying, "These men are from the Most High God, hear ye them." And as they were going around ministering, she kept going around saying this, listen to them, these are men of the Most High God. And finally, one day, Paul got tired of it, and he turned around, and he cast the demons out of this woman. Now, this woman had been a fortune teller, and the moment the demons left her, she ceased to have that ability to tell fortunes, which meant that the men who had been using her skills all of a sudden lost their income. And they were upset, and they caused the entire area there to go against Paul and Silas and have them beaten and thrown in jail. Well, Paul and Silas were excited about the opportunity of suffering for the cause of Christ. And so they started singing songs and praising God, worshiping Him in the jail till midnight. And at midnight, the Bible says that God shook the prison. And when God shook the prison, all the doors to the prison flew open, and all their chains fell off. Well, in that particular area, if you're responsible for guarding that prison, and those prisoners all escape, you're a dead man. So the jailer thought, well, they're gone. I might as well just kill myself. And so he got his sword out, and he was getting ready to fall on it. And Paul yells out and says, wait a minute. We're all still in here. Now, the Bible says that all the prisoners had been listening to all those songs and all of that praising God all during that entire time. And so what happens in verses 30 and to 32, this jailer brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And here's an interesting concept. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Now that's the part you usually hear. But then they went on to say, "You and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. That's an example of the fact that God handpicks those children that are in your family. God's foreknowledge, God's predestinative power handpicks those kids that are in your family. Now, some of you are mad at this moment. Up until now, you didn't have anyone to blame but yourself. What he's saying is that you are the dad for these kids. That's what he's saying. He picked the time. He picked the geographical location, and he picked the parents. And he picked you as dad. And as dad, you're the most qualified person. In God's opinion, you are the most qualified person, most likely to bring your children into a relationship with God. Now, that vote of approval trumps everything. That's how God feels about you. You may not feel qualified. You may feel like God made a mistake. You may feel like God picked the wrong kids. You may feel like that God just missed the whole boat on you and the kids. But in any way you think about it, the fact is God knows everything, doesn't he? And God picked you. Now, you don't hear this a lot. You don't get this type of an experience. But here's an example of a father that was getting ready to commit suicide. He was getting ready to absence himself from this family. They were going to lose a dad. And all of a sudden, the message of Jesus Christ comes into his life. And when it comes into his life, it comes into his family's life and the entire household is changed. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? It went from losing a dad to gaining a family, uniting them together in one. This is the power of Jesus Christ. And this is the importance of a father, is bringing that commitment into the life of that family and bringing that example that we have today here found in the book of Acts. bringing that example into the elements of your family's life and to understand that the whole purpose of God was to unite you as a family so that you could stand together as a unit in Jesus Christ. Now, here's the principle that is being exercised in this. We've heard it. I'm sure you've heard this many times before in Proverbs 22:6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now, I know that we will immediately think, okay, now what it's talking about here is you take a child when they're a teeny, teeny young kid, and you raise them up in the way they should go, and after they've been exposed to the things of God for 20 years, up to the time when they finally leave the house, that they will, it'll be settled in their life, it'll be locked into their minds, it will be brought, it'll bring them to a place to where that they just don't know anything else, and they'll follow God. And that's not what it's saying. The issue is that this jailer came to Christ at a point in time when his family had already been pretty much settled, and we're going to be looking at another family that's just like this, to where that a lot of things have already happened before the main elements come into that family. And so we think, well, it's too late for me. I've already raised my kids. They're already gone. I don't have that kind of an influence on them anymore. But the fact is that the Bible is saying that if you raise a child, no matter how old they are, raise a child in the ways of God, that ultimately before they die, they'll come to Him. Now, Christy's oldest brother was alive in the family for quite some time before that family came to Christ. He is now 82 years old and just recently, just in the last few years, came to Christ. What's the impact that is taking place in that life? The impact is that of what the power of God's Word is able to do in a person's life when they are exposed on a continuous basis to the things of God. That makes you important, dads. That makes your influence important. That makes your decisions important. Because the principle of training a child in the ways they should go. The Bible says in Luke 15:12, the younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Now, what's supposed to happen is the youngest son, which is this one here, and the prodigal son. This is the story of the prodigal son. What's supposed to happen here is that the father gives one-third of his inheritance to the youngest son. He gives two-thirds of his share to the oldest son. Now, what has happened here is that the father is responsible to bring them to that place of dividing up that share of the inheritance just before he dies. And they don't get any of it until he dies. But in this story that Jesus is telling of the prodigal son, this young man comes to his dad and says, "I can't wait until you're dead. I want my money now." And he's making a move in the directions of saying, "I want to separate my life from yours." Now, what's happened is that there is a gap in the inheritance. The young man thinks that his inheritance is the money. But the greatest inheritance that this young man has is the dad. But there was a gap. Something didn't get conveyed from the father to the son, to where that he understood that principle. And this young man thinks that this money is going to make him happy. He thinks that this money is going to set him for life. But he doesn't realize that this dad is going to make him happy, and this dad is going to set him for life. That didn't get passed. Here's the thing that's hurting this young man. He believes that he knows what the secret to life is. He believes that he knows what it's going to take for him to succeed at life. He's got a plan that he's got set in his head, and he's going to implement that plan just as soon as he gets that money together. He is going to implement that plan, and he's going to go out and he's going to spend his money, and he's going to have a party. He's going to have a great time, and he's going to have some fun, and in the process of having that fun, he's going to be living life to the full. Now, this young man knows one thing. He knows how to spend money. But he doesn't know how to make money. He only knows how to spend it. That's a flaw in his plan. It's a flaw in his life system. Now, he belongs to a family with a dad who knows how to make money and he knows how to spend money. This dad knows how to apply money to a situation and bring it into its best equitable part. He knows how to make this thing work in life. He understands life. Now, probably, we don't know for a fact, but probably this dad tried this system that this young man had. Many times they do. You know, many times we don't just grow up knowing everything. We grow up and we learn the hard way, don't we? And so we go out and we will squander some money and we'll find out, well, that wasn't the way to do it. And through the school of hard knocks, we come out the other end of it a lot wiser person, don't we? Don't we? I'm not admitting that. I understand. But the fact is that this dad has already tried the systems and has already come to the realization of the fact that this is what it takes to succeed at life. And he's already made all the necessary mistakes, and now this young man is going out here and learning the hard way and starting all over again. And it's totally unnecessary. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. Did he? What did he leave behind? Father. He left his dad behind and set off for a distant country. He left home. And when he left home, he left dad. And when he left dad, he went out and squandered his wealth in wild living. Now that's a sad moment. All of his inheritance is gone. It looks like life is over. He is used up everything that he could have really made a way for himself. He could have made a life for himself. He could have made a life for his family, but now it's gone. But you see, it's not over. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the older son is out in the field, and he has a gap in his life. In all of his dad's training, and believe me, this dad gave this young man some great training. This young man is able to quote most of the entire, well, the major aspects of the five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. This young man is able to quote all of these things and has learned them, and the dad has given him the best education he can possibly get him, and yet there's a gap in his training. There's something that hasn't been passed from the dad to the son. On the younger son, the inheritance concept, there's something that wasn't passed. And in this older son, there's a training that wasn't passed from the dad to the son. This son thinks he knows the secret to life. It's work. It's how to make money and how to make lots of it. And he's going to be successful. Even though he's already got 2/3 of the inheritance, he's out there in the field working his tail off, going to make some money, going to make something of himself, going to make a name for himself. And he is working day and night. Now, he hasn't learned the important issues of what dad has learned. Something has not passed. It's something that is extremely difficult to pass from father to child. Two major issues that just don't seem to come across to these children because they're learning a lot of things and a lot of theory and a lot of possibilities, but it's not really sinking into life itself. It's not really transforming them. And so you've got two sons, and these two sons are facing issues where they're convinced that they're ready for life. They're convinced that they are ready to face the issues of that life. And they're heading out based on the principles that they have decided for themselves. They're going to do those things they believe. Now, where's dad? He's at the house. Where's the son? Well, one of them's off wasting his money in riotous living. Where's the other one? Well, he's out in the field. Where's dad? Well, he's at the house. Where's the relationship? There isn't one. Where should the kids be? With dad. Dad's running the business. Dad's succeeding at life. Dad's running all of these things, and then he has found the secrets to life, and he has the answers. But where are the kids? They're somewhere else because they've already got a philosophy. They already know they know. And because they're sure they know, they separate themselves. One, he doesn't go off very far. He just goes out to the field. He doesn't leave off to some distant country. He stays home, but he's still not with Dad. He still doesn't have a relationship with his father. And his father is his greatest inheritance. And that's you, Dad. The greatest inheritance that your kids have is you. So finally, the young man comes back, comes to his senses, and he decides, I've got to go home. Things are a lot better at home than they are out here. And so he's going to come back. And you know what he's asking for? He's asking to be one of his dad's slaves. You know what's happened in his heart? He realizes how important Dad is. He has realized that even if he can't come back and be son, he can at least go back to Dad, and Dad can influence his life to such a wonderful degree that he would be willing to be his slave. Isn't that amazing? That's a change of heart. Why? Because he examined those issues. He examined his principles. He checked out those secrets to life that he thought he had. And when he got through adding them all together, you know what he discovered? Dad has the answer. And he came to his senses. Now, it's just never too late. As long as you're alive and your kids are alive, it is never too late to bring them to a proper relationship with God. It is never too late to train them in the ways they should go. And as this young man makes his way back home, beaten and bruised and stinky and lost all of his money and depressed and discouraged, his dad beats a hot path down the road and grabs his stinky son and wraps his arms around him and kisses him. Why? Because he's dad. Nobody else wants him. No one else loves him. Everybody else was his friend as long as he had money. And the moment his money was gone, no one cared anything about him. He was all alone. But who loves him? Dad. Who sees him afar off? Dad. Who goes out and puts a ring on his finger and puts a robe on him and brings him in and throws a party? Dad. Why? Because Dad is his greatest inheritance. And out in the field is another one of his sons. And this son has a major gap in his heart. His training has a gap in it. And when he hears about this party that's being thrown from this prodigal son that has gone out and squandered all that money, and we all know that money is all important. We know that money is the major issue, and we know that we should work 24/7 for getting that money. And when we find money being spent on this lost son that doesn't understand the importance of money, then what in the world can the dad be thinking? And he goes in and he's mad and he won't come into the house and he won't celebrate. Why? Because Dad's spending money on him. But what does Dad do? There's this huge party going on. Everyone is rejoicing. Everyone is having a great time. Everyone is being blessed. And yet Dad's not happy because one of his sons is outside. And Dad leaves the party. Dad goes out and talks to him. Dad starts to deal with his heart, and he starts to close the gap in his heart. There's a gap in both of his sons' hearts, and they don't understand what that gap is. And they're trying to live life without that important piece of information. And Dad is closing the gap on their hearts and lives. Now here's Dad in the middle, where the arrow is. And he's confused. Because everybody in the whole wide world knows how he should run his family. Everybody knows how you ought to do it. Everybody knows, all the experts can tell you that you don't know how to raise your kids. All the experts will tell you that this is the way you should raise your kids. Have you ever checked on those experts and see how their kids are doing? You ought to do that. Have you ever checked on the life of those pop psychologists that are popular in Hollywood? Have you checked on the kind of life they're living? Do you really want your kids raised on the basis of their principles? Do you really want those people that we as a society consider popular, consider people who are influential over our world, do we really want them deciding and saying to us, you don't know how to raise your kids? Have you ever sat at a restaurant and listened to people? They've all got an opinion. They're all sitting around and they've had five husbands and six wives and they not necessarily, you know, to the same person, but and yet they know how to run a marriage, don't they? They haven't lost a drop of confidence in the fact that they know how to do this. Christy and I were sitting at a restaurant. What was the name of that little city?
Alto Pass.
Ever been to Alto Pass? Big city. And we met an expert. He's writing a book. And he's telling you, men, own the kitchen. Run the kitchen. Take charge of the kitchen. He said this 1,000 times. We're sitting here as helpless victims as he, owner of the restaurant, is explaining to us the successful points of life. And he told us all of the different women that he had gone through. And this one woman, I don't think they were married, is there. Then they've been together for 11 years, and she did not look happy. And he's standing there over us at our table, trapped, eating our lunch. And he's telling us all of his philosophies of life. I couldn't hardly stand it. Do you really want these people deciding how you should raise your kids? You know what I'm saying to you? I'm saying to you that sometimes you get depressed. I'm saying that sometimes you get discouraged about the way you're doing your child raising. I'm saying that sometimes you just want to go buy a magazine and say, read 7 steps to raising kids. I'm saying you get so discouraged and so frustrated with the way things are going and running into so many difficulties with your children that you get to a place to where that as a dad, you feel like a failure. And I'm asking you, are you going to let these people make the decision of how good a dad you are? Raising kids is tough, isn't it? I'm not going to get an amen out of that. Okay. I know what you go through as a dad. You get to feeling like that somehow, some way, something got lost in the translation, and it did. Even though this dad knows how to do it, to convey the principle is hard. To convey the importance of the inheritance is difficult. To train a child in the way he should go as it relates to just the information is simple. But to get the true meaning underneath all of that underlying principle of life is hard. Both children missed it with dad. So the dad comes out and he's talking to his son. And he's telling his son, son, you need to come in. In Luke 15:31, he says, my son. There's the inheritance, isn't it? Do you know that a lot of kids are in a struggle in life because they've never heard those words? That they are in a massive struggle in life because they just want to hear their dad say, my son. But did you know that a lot of those sons who are going through those massive struggles are not able to go to their dad and say, Dad, I need to hear you say, my son. Instead, there's animosity, there's resistance, there's fighting, there's struggling. There is a constant indication to the dad that this child does not want to hear. This kid, this man, this young man, this older man doesn't want to hear what I have to say. There's this indication between the two of them that there is a wall, a barrier that exists in there that just cannot be broken down. And yet, there is a deep desire in that dad to wrap his arms around that son and say, my son. And there's a deep desire in that son for his dad to come and wrap his arms around him and say, "My son." But they can't cross over that barrier. They can't go to that level where they can just open up their hearts to one another and love one another and care for one another. There was this tremendous battle that was going on. This older son was mad, and he was mad at dad. But when his dad walked out that door and came out there where he was, he was the only person that he wanted to see. He didn't look like he was the only person that this young man wanted to see, but his dad was the only person he wanted walking out that door. His opinion mattered. His acceptance mattered. The relationship with him mattered. But he was mad at dad, and he was bawling dad out, and he was saying all kinds of venomous things to dad. But the deep down heart hunger was that dad would say, "My son." That's the relationship. That's the importance. And this is the thing that's being attacked by society in you, trying to depress you, trying to discourage you, trying to frustrate you, trying to make you doubt yourself, trying to make you try something else. Look to them. Look to the experts. Look to the public opinion. Listen to all of these people who are professionals. But the fact is, the only thing that can be passed from dad to son that's going to really matter is the inheritance of a relationship. It's a relationship. It isn't money. It isn't the thing that money can buy. It isn't anything else but that relationship. And this dad has that quality. You know why? Because he waited on the porch until that younger son came to his senses, and he beat a hot path out there to hug him. Because this dad, when he found out that his son wouldn't come in, he comes out of that party and he goes out there and he talks to that son. He doesn't want to talk to me. He doesn't want to listen to me. He never listens to a thing I say. I get sick and tired of arguing with him and fighting with him. I get tired of all of the frustrating relationships we have. And the dad gets separated from the son because he just finally gets to a place where he feels like the son doesn't listen. He won't hear. He won't respond. But the fact is, the deep down hunger in the heart of that son is dad. And he says, "My son, you are always with me." And aren't those beautiful words? This guy has a way with words. But you see, the dad knows that he's the inheritance. You've got to know that. You can't let society beat you down to where that you cease to see yourself as the inheritance. You can't lose confidence in the fact that God called you and no one else. You can't come to a place where you finally decide it's over. I got one son, he's run off, and I don't know where he is. And I got another son that's out there in the field, and he can't stand my guts, and it's over. But the dad waits. He waits for that strategic moment when one son comes to his senses, and when the other son makes it almost to the house, but not quite because he's mad. And the dad closes the gap. The dad makes the trip. The dad opens up his heart. The dad opens up his life. And just think about it. There's not another person in the world that's going to do it. Not the rest of society, not the experts. No one is going to make the trip. Only dad is going to make that trip. And dad makes that trip. And when he does, he starts to melt the heart of his sons. And he starts to teach them at a point in time when it, in some ways it doesn't look like they're listening. In some ways it doesn't seem like they're interested. In some ways it looks like it's all is lost. But dad goes ahead and he sacrifices his relationship and comes out there and humbles himself in his relationship with his sons. And he starts to pour out to them, "Everything I have is yours." Haven't you seen that? Where a dad will work his tail off just wanting to leave behind some sort of a legacy for his child because they're his child, because he's their dad. "You have me always, and everything I have is yours." And then he says, in Luke 15:32, "But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this your brother was dead." Now what's he doing? He's starting to melt family together. This, your brother. Your brother was gone. He was as good as dead. And he's starting to help this son love and care for a brother. What is that? It's that hard part to teach. To where that you can get the first five books of the Bible into them, where they can quote them word for word, where you can take them to Sunday school, you can take them to church, you can take them in and help them read their Bibles, and you can give them all sorts of scriptural assignments. But there's one thing that's hard to teach, and that's the one thing that dads can teach and are good at teaching, and that's the relationship. We're a family, son. This is your brother. I know you're having a hard time getting along with him, and I know you're having a hard time feeling good about us having a party for him, but you have to understand, we're celebrating a relationship. We're celebrating a family. Our family was being disintegrated. It was being torn apart by the world. Your brother had some philosophies locked into his craw, and he just couldn't let them go. And he went out, and he applied his principles to life, and he failed. And now he's coming back, and he's realizing he needs to get things straightened out in another direction, and he's looking for our help. And he's melting. He's weaving. He's developing something they didn't understand in all their training and all the development of their life's philosophies. And he's teaching relationship. And he's setting that example. Isn't that awesome? What he's saying is, this is what life's all about. This is the secret to life. It's the inheritance of a relationship. He's your brother. I'm your dad. We're all you've got. If anyone is going to have your back, it's going to be us. We love you. We care what happens to you. Those friends that your younger brother had, they looked like friends. But when the money was gone, where are your friends? When people get what they can get out of you, where are your friends? When all of a sudden that you do something that is an embarrassment to the society around you, where are your friends? Dad's home. And that's the reason why Christian dads are so vital to our society today. That's the reason why it's so awesome that you are a stay-at-home dad, rather than going out in riotous living and selling out your soul to pleasure. That's the reason why you're such an awesome dad, that you came to church today and you brought your family with you as much as you possibly could. That's the reason why this is an important day, Father's Day, is because your kind of man changes America. Heavenly Father, we just pray for these dads. We know that there's all kinds of pressure, there's all kinds of training, there's all kinds of experts, there's all kinds of opinions, there's all kinds of circumstances that they've gone through. Some of them have already come to a conclusion that it's over, that they have done everything they can do, and the family has already made their decisions, but it's not true. They can still be raised in the way they need to go. They can still be raised before they're too old and are dead and gone. And we just pray that you would encourage the hearts of these dads today. Those who are just starting a family, those who haven't started a family yet. Those dads to be, anoint them with this philosophy that the relationship is more important than anything else. First of all, a relationship with you. And second of all, a relationship with your family. That these become relational dads. That these be relational dads with children that have rejected them. That these be relational dads with those who they have failed at some point in their lives, and the kids know all their faults and shortcomings. That they be relational dads no matter what their kids think, regardless of what their kids are doing or what they've done. That they be relational dads that have a relationship with Jesus Christ and love their kids whether their kids love them or not. And that those kids know that they love them with an unconditional love. And we ask it in Jesus' name that you would bless them abundantly. Pour out your spirit upon them. Empower them with the strength of your Holy Spirit. Give them courage in you. Bless these dads, God. bless them abundantly, and let us celebrate this day. As we go our separate ways, let these dads know that we respect them, that we appreciate them, and that we are behind them in prayer and in support and in training and study as much as to help this family as we possibly can as a church.